Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, the gorgeous kitchen. I'm here with local caterer Joe Buckingham of Truffle Hound Catering. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Well, thank you. Very exciting.
Very exciting. We're in your kitchen.
You are indeed in my small but beautifully proportioned kitchen.
It is the perfect catering kitchen.
I'm glad you think so.
Or at least perfect catered food comes out of your kitchen.
No, that's true. Yes, it's lovely. It's lovely. Yeah. It's just right for me. It's small enough that everything's on hand. Yeah, it's just perfect.
I can see that you're definitely a professional caterer because your kitchen is hyper organized as opposed to mine.
It's true. I do have various sad tendencies, like if you look at my spices, they're all alphabetically arranged.
They are. It's like the supermarket.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But how much time do you save that way? And similarly, all the plastic containers, they all have to have their own lids on because the worst thing is just scrabbling around for that lid. Just
loads. Oh my God, don't look in my cupboard. Seriously, do not look in my cupboard.
Mm-hmm. And my final thing of just being super, well, not organised, but picky, is that if anybody comes into my kitchen, uses the cling film and doesn't pull it down, ready for the next person, sackable offence.
Just fair warning, people.
Yep.
Fair warning.
That's it.
We need to be ready to move.
Yep.
Tight schedules, tight kitchen.
That's exactly it.
I have a friend who's a caterer, and he has a hashtag, which I'm sure you can agree with, caterers never sleep.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. You have to be efficient, and actually the thing is that if you've got a dinner, it's not going to wait till the day after. But that's okay. It's very good for me because it does drive one's efficiency a little bit. Yeah.
Are you by nature a procrastinator?
Definitely.
Really? So you need the deadline of delivery.
Same. How about you, Jonah?
Yes, right. Exactly. Without a deadline, I'm a mushball.
Yeah, no. My friends will listen to this and laugh. Yeah, I am the best procrastinator in the world.
Oh, we could have a competition. Mm-hmm. How much spider solitaire could you play? Anyway, that aside, so how did you get into catering?
Slightly circuitous route. So, I always loved cooking. Actually always went to university and learned how to cook there. That was my kind of first year goal. And then just always did cooking for fun. So was doing cordon bleu courses in the evening, that sort of thing. But I was a management consultant for quite some time. I'm much better now. But I used to arrive at clients' kitchen, clients' house, well, not their homes, their places of business, you know, and I'd be doing a cookery course in the evening, and I'd arrive with a sort of raw piece of meat from Macken's. Before we start, have you got a fridge I could put this into? And they'd look at me, because, you know, I'd be booted and suited and look like a management consultant, but with this sort of piece of meat. So, So I've always, I'm much better now, and I'm now following my passion. Yeah.
If we could use food terms, it sort of bled into the day job.
Absolutely it did. Absolutely it did. Which, you know, yeah. And so when I was 40... I kind of, sat down and did a big think and thought, because I was missing, when you're a management consultant or that sort of thing, you're objective and distanced and dispassionate. And I was missing that bit of passion.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and said, what was I passionate about? And came up with food. And to test me out, I went and volunteered for a charity called The Food Chain, where I ended up being a lead cook in kitchens that you borrowed from schools at weekends, because nobody's using them then. And we would send out a three-course meal for people who were housebound with HIV and AIDS, with a team of volunteers. So as the lead cook, I had to sort of plan the menu for lots of people that got all these special dietary requirements, because those were the days when everybody was taking lots of different pills. And planned it and then got the volunteers to cook it. And when you go from, oh, isn't it nice to do a dinner party for 6 or 8, and suddenly you're cooking for 50 or 60, and actually it all has to be out by a particular time, that's a good way to test whether you want to do it.
Well, and also with your volunteers having different skill sets
Yes.
So you have to plan your menus around your clients' needs and your staff needs.
Absolutely. And of course, the most important person in the kitchen is the person that doesn't mind doing the washing up. So that's fun.
Praise be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Every household, every kitchen.
It's so true.
Throughout the land.
Yeah.
To the washer uppers.
Yeah. Yes. So once I'd done that and sort of decided, then although I got all this catering experience behind me, being a woman of a certain age and slightly kind of, am I able to do this? I sent myself off to cooking college with the 16, 17 year olds, which was interesting. Sociologically, very interesting.
Because it's a very physical job.
It is hugely physical.
I mean, you're standing for long periods, you're using, especially cooking in large quantities, as a caterer, you are sometimes required to do. I mean, you need muscles.
You do. Yes, I am Charlene Atlas underneath this uniform.
So, but you survived, you thrived.
I survived, I thrived. It made me realise that I wasn't going to really work in restaurant kitchens. I did a little bit of that and it was fine. But, it was one of those paradoxical things that when I was a management consultant, they told me I didn't have enough gravitas because I didn't have grey hair. And when I was when I decided to become a chef, then I got the grey hairs, too many university qualifications and, yeah, I did it all the wrong way around.
No cred in the kitchen.
No cred in the kitchen. Damn. So, yeah, so I ended up setting up my own little business, which was fine. And, and launched it from Chiswick. So I used to work in Whisk, the kitchen shop.
Yes.
And that was great.
On Devonshire Road. Yes.
Yeah. And that was great. And I did I can sell ice to Eskimos, which is good. So I used to sell pots and pans. And with the agreement of the owners, I would say, well, I just work here part-time. And the rest of the time I cook for people. Would you like a card? And that launched my Chiswick business.
Fantastic.
Oh, I know. Shameless tart.
Shameless tart. However, I have to say, I can testify to the fact that you are a very local, sourcing local, high quality goods, because I ran into you in Macken Brothers.
Absolutely. And it's great. I love the queue at Macken's because you always meet somebody you know. And quite often you get a job out of it. So yeah. It's lovely. It's absolutely super.
I was going to say, because your business is really word of mouth.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, we don't advertise, which, which is good. And but it is totally word of mouth. And that puts a little bit of pressure on you because you're only as good as the last job. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's lovely because actually people, word of mouth is the best way. And if somebody's been at a party and they've enjoyed what you've done for the host and they want one, that's great. And it's brilliant. And it's great for me because it means that probably a good 80% of my business is Chiswick.
So it also keeps you local.
Keeps me local.
Which is actually really
fantastic.
Good.
Everybody appreciates the fact that I use Macken's the Butchers. I use Covent Garden Fish opposite Macken's. So they know the provenance of the food, which is great. Yeah, and I think people appreciate local.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
I work with the Cookbook Festival, and our festival drinks, alongside with the Chiswick Book Festival, you catered the festival drinks this year
after
the talk with Matthew Fort and Felicity Cloak. And I think you used some of their books to sort of inspire
absolutely
your canapes.
Yeah, I mean, what a lovely thing. I mean, how great that Chiswick's got a book festival. How doubly great it's got a cookery book festival only in Chiswick, but fabulous. And it was lovely and sort of lovely to be able to read books that you wouldn't necessarily pick up and read, and that was great. And then, as you say, the books sort of inspired some of the canapes. So Felicity Cloak's book, which is less about recipes and more about her travels around France and so on,
on a bicycle.
Yeah. Yep. She did a chapter on Marseille, and only recently, my partner and I were in Marseille and enjoying bouillabaisse. Massively expensive. Fantastic, though. And a flavour, once you've had it, you just never forget it. And so reading her chapter on Marseille and reflecting on that made me come up with a canapé, which a little bit of French, a little bit of France. It's a brioche base, and then it's got a crab bisque jelly on top of that, some lemon puree, and then fresh white meat crab. Yeah, it's lovely. And just with chives and a little bit of radish on top. And it's just, It's quite an awesome bite. And so actually what's brilliant is that the book inspired the canapé, which is now one of my bestsellers because everybody has it. So thank you very much, Cookery Book Festival. How brilliant is that?
Win-win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that is because, you know, Dorset crab is something, you know, I'm thinking we're coming up to Christmas. Everyone likes it, you know, either smoked salmon starter or a crab starter. And what a different, fresh and beautiful way to serve crab that people wouldn't be expecting, yeah. You know? Hence why I understand its popularity.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I'm just going to segue right into Christmas. First of all, I would like to know, because, okay, I like to cook, obviously, if I'm involved in the cookbook festival, etc. So I'm not as likely, I don't think, to call a caterer because they think, oh, well, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I have to say that attitude does hold me back from entertaining people as much as I would like because I don't have time to cook, you know, etc.
It takes time. It does take
time. It takes a lot of time planning, yeah. You know, then there's cleanup. And yeah. It's also remembering it's not just the main course, the starter and the pudding. Yeah, that you can do, but the glasses and you know, and everything else, and a cocktail and I understand you do everything soup to nuts from, you know, past canapés, like the Cookery Book Festival, to dinner party for four. Tell me about your range.
Yeah, no, absolutely we do. We do all of that. I mean, obviously, yeah, no, we do. And what I like to do, I think we're really lucky. We're a small company, which means that we can be flexible. And it, for me, the challenge is hearing from you, what's the mood? What do you want? What's the feel for the event? And what you like and what you don't like food-wise. And let's build something around that. Now, okay, it's time-consuming. For me, it's probably not, you know, the most efficient way of doing a menu. But on the other hand, then you're getting what you want. And it's your party. All we're doing is facilitating it. And so what we like to do is to really build with you and just, you know, I'll come and visit you, have a look at the space, make sure, you know, so that we're not over-promising and under-delivering. It's really important that we get that balance right, and also that we talk through the flow with you so that you get a sense of how it's going to be. And that you don't... I want you to feel in charge, but just a guest at your own party, essentially, so that you know it's all going to happen, it's all going to be lovely. But it's still your party.
I think that the number one complaint about throwing parties is that you never talk to anybody, you never see anybody, because you're up and down if it's a dinner party, or you're just, you know, triage with the glasses and drinks, you know, if it's a cocktail party.
Absolutely right, absolutely right. So we will meet and greet at the front door, because that is one of those points where, you know, you open the front door. Even if you've got teenagers who are going to do it, they get compromised because somebody they know arrives and, how are you and what are you doing at school? And then the doorbell goes and they're thinking, I can't be rude and leave this conversation, but the doorbell's gone, what am I going to do? So much better that we have one of our team, we'll always welcome help, but one of our team on the door, hello, welcome, let me take your coat, oh, presents, oh, you've got flowers, lovely, and we can sort that out, because that's another one.
Oh my God, that's a huge one. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, I literally went, just stuck them in a bucket, you know,
that's
and then every guest that you've, you know, just stuck their flowers in a bucket, it's terrible.
Yeah.
You sort that.
Well, of course we do. God. We manage that. And then you get the meet and greet with the drink. So, and again, it's that thinking it through. Well, what are we going to offer? Are we going to offer fizz? Are we going to offer just still wines? Are we going to have a non-alcoholic? Let's do something a little bit more different than elderflower. Let's be a bit more playful, a bit more creative. Again, to get... Because otherwise, these poor people that aren't drinking, that are driving, who've been saint-like and offered to drive, let's give them something nice to drink rather than, ooh, something I pulled off the shelves in the supermarket. So we're a little bit thoughtful on those sides of things. And yes, we'll advise on number of glasses and number of canapés. And gradually, yeah, everybody gets fed and watered. And then just before, you know, if it's a sit-down, we'll gently encourage you in, but we'll probably put an amuse on the table so that because sometimes it can take time for people to get to the table. And to ease the stress in the kitchen, which is, oh my God, it's going to be overcooked. ease the stress in the kitchen, so you've still got a smiling chef. We'll put an amuse down.
Can I say that you have, perhaps not for your business, but you've taken your management consultant head and approached the client's experience with that whole package.
That's exactly it. It is client focused. Actually, for me, it is that lovely thing of sitting down, talking to somebody, getting their sense of what they want, sorting out a menu that works for them, the fresh food arriving in my kitchen. I just love it when I open my front door and there's a box of vegetables that have been delivered at 5 a.m. It's just lovely. It's like Christmas. It's really sad. And then taking that menu, turning it into something, and watching the host enjoy it and relax and have a lovely time. And then the icing on the cake is that we clear up so that there is no washing up hangover. So it's like, I like to say we're like the elves and the shoemaker.
Yes, the fairies come in, and oh my gosh.
So all you've got left is the good memories.
And you get to be the star of the show.
I did it all myself before.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's great. It's a nice way of doing it. And then everybody, and I get the payoff with happy guests.
Exactly.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Happy guests equal happy clients. Okay, so leading into, very nicely, into Christmas, do you have any tips for us normal people on, you know, sort of getting ahead, getting any of the stress? Are there any things that one can freeze? When should one start?
Oh, God, start. Start as soon as you can, really.
Now, it's too late.
No, not at all. But I mean, I used to be a bit snobby about using the freezer, and I'm getting much better about that now. As you get busier, you realise you use the freezer. And I used to feel that, you know, but there are times where actually the freezer's great. So at the moment, I've got a stock pot on, where I'm making an 8-hour stock. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody does that, but it's great. And it's just, you know, it's just burbling in the kitchen quietly, and it will sit and overnight, and then I'll strain it, get rid of all the fat and all the rest of it. And it's there, it's frozen. It can be frozen for however long you want. And you can just grab it, heat it up, and reuse it, and then refreeze it if you want to. So stock's an easy one. Roasted vegetables, not potatoes particularly, but other roasted vegetables, I think you can do in advance if you're careful. I mean, anything, Mary Berry's great on this sort of thing, you know. But anything like sort of red cabbage.
I was going to say the red cabbage.
Red cabbage is brilliant in advance. Naturally is better for it. And even doing daft things. Well, not daft things, but, you know, things like, you know, getting your vegetables prepped ahead the day before. You can blanch, if you're having beans or you're having any vegetables like sprouts or anything like that, blanch them for 3 minutes in boiling water, take them out, chill them down, and then they only need to go for 30 seconds or something like that. You know, it's just one less thing to worry about.
And also all that topping and tailing of beans and prepping of that. Those are the things that take forever. That if you just sit down the night before, give everyone a pot and a peeler, and they're like, okay, so that's out of the way.
Exactly. Do glazed carrots. They're exactly the same. You know, get them ready, cook them.
Think like a caterer.
And actually, you know what? People are actually pleased to be with you. It's not about the food. Should a caterer say that? It isn't, though, is it?
Yeah, it's on about Christmas the, dinner. It's about the occasion.
Exactly. And who cares when you have it, really? Don't get stressed.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a big scoop for...
Excellent.
For Radio Gorgeous. Ready?
This just
drum
in.
Roll. Da-ra. We are having our first pop-up.
Oh, my goodness. How exciting.
It is really... I'm so excited. We've been going for 15 years, and so it's a bit of a celebration of that. So we're borrowing the post room, which is on South Parade, Bedford Corner. It's only got 22 covers, so it's kind of first come, first served. And we're going to do a lovely, not a tasting menu, but it will be sort of five courses.
Excellent.
And yes, really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. And it's a bit of a showcase for us. And it's also hopefully a means of seeing people that we know well, but also meeting some new faces, we hope. That would be really lovely.
Fantastic. And when is that?
That's happening on Thursday, the 5th of December.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. And where can people get tickets?
So the tickets aren't yet available. So, you know, hold that thought. But we'll be available, we think, on Eventbrite. We'll probably do it through that.
Perfect.
It's, yeah, which would be fun. And I think we'll probably... The menu's just being sort of finalised as we speak, sort of thing. But we'll obviously include some of our favourite canapés, possibly the crab one. And yes, it'll have a wintry feel, and it might have a nod towards Christmas, but I don't want to over Christmas it. But yeah,
fantastic.
Lovely.
So people can really try out your
absolutely
food and really and meet you and your team,
absolutely,
and get a feel for Truffle Hound Catering.
Yeah, and it's bring your own bottle. So
excellent.
All good.
Yes, and it's a little pocket of Chiswick. I just want people to point out, if you, the E3 route, it's coming up, coming north out of from Turnham Green Terrace. So it's just that little bit, that corner there where I think there's a restaurant Avanti and a couple
vets
of other things.
Yeah,
and there's the vets there.
So it's sort of opposite,
yeah,
St. Michael and All Angels,
yes,
and
exactly,
sort of diagonally across from Turnham Green Tube Station.
Exactly.
But as you,
yeah,
say, it's the shops are set back a little bit.
Yeah.
So you,
yes,
wouldn't necessarily see them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Excellent. Well, we will put a link to that.
Fantastic.
On the
Thank you.
On the website. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
I look forward to seeing you on the 5th.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. That would be brilliant.
Excellent. Thank you so much,
well,
Jo.
Thank you for inviting me to be part of my first podcast.
Yes. Yo. And for more passionate and fantastically managed women, please go to www.radiogorgeous.com.
Radio Gorgeous. Online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.